when I was much younger, I didn't know how to swim. And prior to my father pretty much completely disappearing from my life, I was in a lake in Connecticut. I don't recall the lake. I don't recall much about that day, but I do recall one thing, getting in over my head, literally getting in over my head in the water, and I didn't know how to swim. So it was learn to swim or die that day. I don't even remember how old I was, but I had to be pretty young. And I did learn how to swim that day underwater. And eventually I learned how to swim, you know, like above water and how most people know how to swim. But it was out of fear in that moment that I had to learn to either swim or I was going to drown. There was no lifeguards, and I don't think my father was paying any attention. Not that that's a surprise. I'm not here to bash anyone. I'm here to tell you a story. And the story was how I learned how to swim, because if I didn't learn how to swim that day, I wouldn't be here today. That was 40 some odd years ago. And it's an interesting tale of conquering a fear because you don't have a choice. So it begs the question, if we don't have a choice but to end something or conquer something, what do we do? Do we run? Do we accept defeat and take our licks? Or do we face that fear head on and conquer it? Welcome to the Dad Tax Podcast, a podcast for dads by dads, a podcast for all things dads, including mental health, fatherhood challenges, relationships, sports, business, grilling, and more. So put on your white New Balances, sit back in your reclining chair, and let's talk dads. So welcome to the first episode of the Dad Tax Podcast. And the intention of this podcast is to talk all things dad. And sometimes the conversation will be lighthearted and fun. Sometimes the conversations will be very serious, as I intend to do today with the first episode. It's kind of ironic that we're starting on Men's Mental Health Month. I was not even aware that June was Men's Mental Health Month until just a couple of days ago. And I've been meaning to launch this podcast for a while. And I saw that, and then the events that unfolded at Uvalde at Rob Elementary School just a couple of weeks ago as I'm recording this. And it really got me to thinking it's time to start this podcast, because there are some very difficult conversations that need to be had in our country and as men and fathers, things that need to be talked about and dealt with. One of those being men's mental health, but also it's time to look at the gun issue in this country, the fascination that we as a country have with guns, and mostly speaking about these automatic rifles. And I won't say that I'm an expert. I am not an expert on guns by any stretch. But I just think that any gun that can be used to shoot and kill dozens of people within minutes is just unnecessary in a population. But we'll get to that shortly. I don't mean this to be a political podcast. That is not the goal here. I'm not going to argue whether or not the Second Amendment is still necessary. And really the focus of this is more about the mental health of men of all ages, because it was age-wise, it was a man that pulled this, that did this shooting. He had just turned 18, so legally, he's considered an adult male, a man, in this country. But also the fathers that had to withstand the trauma of this shooting. Those that lost children that day, those that had children inside the school, and they had to wait to find out if their children were okay. So I'm going to come from a sort of a personal angle on this. And I'm going to start with, I heard a story, and I don't know if it's true. I've been trying to verify it, but I have not been able to independently verify it. But I heard a story of a father who was asked why he was not crying. And his response was, I can't cry. This is a father of a Uvalde victim. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Uvalde victim. And he said he can't cry. And the person who asked him why he's not crying said, well, why can't you cry? Of course you could cry. He said, no, I cannot. He said, look, everybody around me is crying. I have to be the strong one. I have to be the one that people count on and can lean on during this time. That sums up fatherhood in just a couple of sentences. Again, I don't know if that's true, if that was really asked. I heard it somewhere. I don't know where I heard it, on the radio or something. And I have not been able to verify that. So I don't know for sure if it's true. So I'm going to tell you about an incident at my kid's school. So I am a father. I have three children and a grandchild. So I have a 26-year-old daughter who has a son who's about to turn 4. I have a 12-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter as I'm recording this. So the two younger kids are, of course, in elementary school, 6th grade and 2nd grade this year. And at least once a year, there is a threat of a bomb or something in the school. And, of course, again, this year there was a threat. There was a rash of threats around the country, I think, around the same time. And I don't recall what it was, if it was gun violence or if it was another bomb threat, which just goes to show you how incensed we are to these things at this point. But I do recall that they evacuated the school and either the kids could get on the bus or we could go pick them up. Now, I have the good fortune of having some flexibility in my workday. So I went to pick them up. And when I arrived at the school, there were cop cars everywhere. There were cops at the entrance, and I think they were probably going through the school. And I got to tell you, some emotion came over me. It's a scary scene to see cop cars lined up at your kid's school. And they were actually checking cars as they came in, I think to see if there were bombs on them or something. I don't really know what they were checking, but they were stopping cars and checking them, including me. This is scary. And this is not something a child should have to endure. And it's sad that my 12-year-old son, he pretty much gets it. Where my daughter, not so much yet. She doesn't really get it yet. She kind of does, but not exactly. The emotion that comes over you in this kind of scenario, it's unbelievable that your children have to go through something like this. And there was, it turned out not to be credible. I think they kept an armed police at the school for an extra couple of days. And they do have guards there in the school at all times. But the range of emotion that you feel relief that your kids are okay, but you also feel sad that they have to go through this. Now imagine how a father feels after something like Uvalde or Sandy Hook, which happened right here in my home state of Connecticut. I think it's been 12, 13 years now. I'm not sure when it, no, I think it's less than that. I think it's about 9 years. I think it's 9 or 10 years now. So Sandy Hook, same type of scenario. A guy went in with a gun, automatic weapon. I think he had more than one gun, automatic weapons, killed, I don't know the numbers, but I believe it was 20 children and 6 adults or something like that. Why does it happen? Why does it only happen here in the U.S.? Yes, I know these things happen in other places around the world, but not at the frequency it does here in the U.S., which is supposed to be a world leader, supposed to be a country that other countries look up to. And we're afraid to send our kids to school. So now let's wrap in men's mental health. So here we have these school shootings and really mass shootings constantly. Every few days there seems to be another mass shooting. They shot up a predominantly black grocery store in Buffalo for no other reason except that it was mostly black people in the store, a black neighborhood, and most of the shoppers were black. My children are half black, so something else I have to look out for. So they're mixed. They're interracial children, black and white. And something else I have to worry about for my children. They're black and they're also interracial, which some people don't like. Yes, it's a real problem. And so you might be listening to this podcast and say, that's not a real problem. Those things are not here. They're still here. And I've seen it firsthand myself. I've heard some of the comments. I've heard comments when my son plays baseball. I've heard some comments from other people, and I just choose to not address it at that point in time. It's not the place. At a baseball game is not the place to do it. My son's baseball game. But I hear the comments. My wife has been pulled over because she was black. She's been stopped at work bringing case files to her car because she's black. It does happen. If you don't want to believe it, then I guess more power to you, but it does happen. I consider myself an ally. I've used what I call white privilege to step in and intervene for not what I call white privilege. It's white privilege. But I've used it to intervene in scenarios where there was some injustice. But my children are black and they're interracial. And so that, and my grandson is also interracial. And so that could potentially be a problem, a bigger problem somewhere down the road. I don't know. I hope it's not. I hope, you know, that generation changes. And I hope that they never have to confront those things. But I can tell you, my daughter already has. Fortunately for her, my son was also there to intervene. At 8 years old, she was 7 at the time, 7 years old. We'll talk about that in another podcast. So that weighs on parents. The focus of this podcast, the dad tax, is on dads. Men's mental health. So what does it mean? It's not taken seriously enough. The highest rate of suicide in this country is men. Bottom line, men. It's not even close. Men. Because we don't have an outlet. I know that mental health is spoken about more now today than it ever was for all walks of life. But there is a stigma with men. Men are supposed to be the strong ones. Men are supposed to be the tough ones. Men keep everything inside, and we do. We keep a lot inside. And there's, you know, various reasons we keep that inside. You know, some of us had rough upbringings. Some of us don't feel like we have anybody we could talk to. There's just so many reasons why men feel like they cannot express themselves or go to see a therapist, a mental health therapist. My wife is a mental health therapist. I can't go see her. She's, you know, too close. But I know I'm around people that are psychologists, mental health coaches. I have in a BNI group I belong to, there's a mental health professional. A really good friend of mine is a mental health professional. Two of my clients are psychiatrists. So I'm around mental health professionals all the time. And they will tell you, yes, men should seek mental health services. It's not quite that simple for the vast majority of men in this country still today. So in the United States, men, actually I'm not sure if it's the United States or if this is around the world, but men died by suicide at a rate 3.88 times more than women. The highest rate of suicide is middle-aged white men. Not talked about a lot. On average, there are 130 suicides per day. Almost 70% of suicide deaths in 2020 were white men. And firearms accounted for almost 53% of all suicide deaths. Again, the gun problem. But, you know, we'll leave that out of the equation for the moment. 93% of adults surveyed in the U.S. think suicide can be prevented. But how? We've got to take mental health a little more seriously. Let's take it a step further. The man, and I'm using air quotes here, that committed the mass murder in Uvalde probably won't even be considered a suicide. It's he was shot in the commission of a crime, so it probably won't be considered suicide. So the rate is probably even higher, even though he probably went into that school knowing he wasn't going to come out. Now let's talk about men's mental health a little bit. Again, June is Men's Mental Health Month, so this is important. According to a poll of 21,000 men by researchers at the National Center for Health Statistics, NCHS, nearly 1 in 10 men reported experiencing some form of depression or anxiety. I think it's higher than that. I think that men may not recognize the symptoms either and suppress it. Now, this also says that less than half of them sought treatment. Again, the rate of suicide for men versus women, men is 3.88 times higher. Depression, when left untreated, can, in some cases, reach a crisis point of suicidal contemplation. I think women, there's a stigma for men when it comes to mental health. We're supposed to be the strong ones. And in some cases, women don't help with that. They further that stigma. I think less now than they used to, but I think it still occurs in relationships. Six in 10 men experience at least one trauma in their lives. Again, that may be higher. I think men tend to suppress it. Some men don't realize that a traumatic event happened in their childhood until later in life. They suppress it to the point of not remembering it. Men are almost two times more likely to binge drink than women and also have higher rates of alcohol-related deaths and hospitalizations and are more likely to have used alcohol before dying by suicide. Alcohol is a depressant, so whatever you're feeling is going to be magnified if you're drinking. 49% of men feel more depressed than they admit to the people in their life. I, again, think that number might be higher. And more than 1,000 men revealed the truth that many assume. Men are much less likely to voice struggles with mental illness and even thoughts of suicide. This was a survey on the Today Show that they surveyed more than 1,000 men, revealed the truth that many assume. Men are much less likely to voice struggles with mental illness and even thoughts of suicide. I would venture to guess the number of men who have thought about suicide at least once in their life is in the 90 percentile. I don't have any statistics to prove that. I don't have any evidence of that, but I would venture to guess that. So we combine the fatherhood aspect of this. So our job is tough, right? There's still that stigma of men don't play an active role in their children's lives. It still exists today, even though it is so much more prevalent today that men are active in their children's lives. We participate. We play with our kids. We take them to their activities. We help them with schoolwork. We teach them. There's so much we do with our kids. So much we do with our kids. And the father's role in a child's life is critical, and it has been proven time and time again. You can go do the research that a father's place in a child's life is critical to that child's success in life and could prevent future generations of this exact problem, mental health. I don't know the shooter's story in Uvalde. I do know that he lived with his grandparents. He had some kind of disagreement with his grandmother, supposedly, and shot her in the face. I'm not sure if she, at last I heard, she was still alive. I don't know if she is or not, but does not sound like his home life was the greatest. And I'm not suggesting that we coddle our children. I don't believe in that fully. I think, yes, discipline and structure is important, but also support and softness and those things are also important, you know. And I think having both parents play an active role in both the disciplining and in the supporting of our children, building them up, you know, teaching them that they can accomplish things, helping them show them how to accomplish things, sometimes giving them that a little bit of a nudge, a push to help them accomplish things on their own, you know, to help them become better citizens in the future. That's important. It does not sound like the mother or father was in the Uvalde shooter's life. And in the case of the Sandy Hook shooter, I believe he was living with his mother. I'm not sure where the father was. He did have mental problems. And I don't know why the mother was collecting so many guns either. I just don't understand why people have to have so many weapons. For what? What do you need it for? But that's, again, we're not here for that. We're not going to talk about that. We're talking about men's mental health. So we have this. I'm going to use myself. I'm going to be the guinea pig here. I have children that are interracial. They're black and they're white. You know, my wife is Haitian. I am half Polish, half Italian. So they got a little bit of everything in them. Has not been a big issue. Like I said, my daughter did have an incident on the school bus earlier this school year. My son was there to intervene. So it didn't really go too far. We got involved right away and the whole thing got squashed. Shouldn't have happened. I live in what is considered a progressive area. Should not have happened, but it did. My wife's had a few incidents. I've had some strange looks when we've been out. I could tell you about an incident in South Carolina where we were in an Italian restaurant and I had my nephew who was 100% black with me and he had to go to the bathroom. So I took him to the bathroom, being the only adult male there. And I got some crazy looks in an Italian restaurant. It happens. It's still a problem. So I have to worry about that. I have to worry about every time I go to school, could something happen? And I can't. After that shooting in Uvalde, my mind went off the deep end. Speaking of men's mental health, and for days I just could not stop thinking, what if my daughter, my youngest child, was faced with that situation? And her final thoughts. That's all I kept thinking about. That is not an easy thing to think about. She's a tough kid, but she just doesn't comprehend something like that yet. And I don't want her to. She shouldn't have to. But that's something else we have to worry about, men's mental health. Our relationships, you know, our wives, our girlfriends, our significant others, whatever they might be, you know, there's relationship struggles, financial problems. These are all things that men take in and they let it sit and sit and sit until we one day erupt. And that eruption could be violent in nature. It could be suicidal in nature. It could be depression. It could be so many different things. Road rage. I hate to say it, but maybe another school shooting or grocery store shooting. I don't know. You know, what is the breaking point for someone to get to do something like that? Did they always have mental health issues? Supposedly the Uvalde shooter never had any reported mental health issues. So was he just undiagnosed or did this suddenly happen? Was there a snapping point, a breaking point for him? It's not addressed enough, you know. In Uvalde, again, it is a primarily Spanish-speaking part of Texas, and being men and Spanish-speaking, I can tell you that south of the border in the U.S., you know, in the Caribbean and South America, men's mental health is not a thing. They don't believe in it. So it's possible that it was just overlooked. I don't know if the shooter was white or Hispanic. I'm not sure. But it could have been overlooked. It could be that he did have problems. There were noticeable problems. But nobody addressed it because it's that stigma again. Men's mental health. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to just suck it up and deal with it. But that's not realistic anymore. we have a problem. We have reached that breaking point in this country. And maybe around the world. I don't really know. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be taken seriously. And I think, you know, it got a little bit of a shove this June. And in October, I'm sorry, November, not October. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, which is another big month for me because I'm in IT. But November is also known as Movember or No Shave November. And it's the goal of November is to raise awareness for men's health issues, mental health being one of them. And then you have a couple of forms of cancer that they try to raise awareness for. But men's mental health is a big one. So I was unaware of June being men's mental health. Now I know. Now we have something to talk about every June and every November now. But we'll be talking about it all year round on this podcast. So I'm going to try to make this a weekly podcast. I'm going to be honest. I have another podcast that I was trying to do weekly as well. It's called The Human Element. I have not been able to do that weekly, so I may not be able to do this weekly too. I will give it my best go. It is something I've wanted to do for some time. I've been asked to write a book, actually a couple of books, one about fatherhood and another one about cybersecurity. So the cybersecurity book is started. And I've been off of it for a couple of months now because I have been so busy in business. Speaking of men's mental health, right? So I'm burning, I have a business now. The business is in IT and cybersecurity. And the business is about 3.5 years old. The third year is really when things started taking off for me, which is great, but it also means I'm working a lot. So I will tell you, if you get into business, your own business, because you think you're going to work less, guess again, you're going to work more. You are going to work far more than you would in a 9-to-5. And that could affect men's mental health too. And I know that more and more people are starting their own business. It's great because I have flexibility. So if, you know, the kids need me to pick them up at school, I could go do that. When my son has baseball games or my daughter has gymnastics or dance, I can bring them. I have that flexibility. Both my wife and I both have that flexibility where we can schedule around our children's stuff, which is great. But we both work a lot. And mental health will take a toll if you're not getting enough sleep. It will definitely take a toll. Sleep is important, extremely important. And I don't think enough people, you know, some people will say, well, if you're sleeping more than 4 hours or 5 hours a night, you're sleeping too much. That is a crock of you know what. I'm trying to keep a PG for the Apple Podcasts people out there. I don't want them to flag my podcast. So this is what I will tell you. All right, I'm going to start wrapping this up now. I will tell you, as a man, find a mental health professional and talk to them. Most insurances will cover it. Find a mental health professional, psychologist, and talk to them about anything and everything. You may uncover some things. So, you know, my story is my father wasn't really around for most of my years of growing up, my years of influence was not around. I'm not getting into the rest of the story for this podcast, for this episode, but someday you'll hear the rest of the story for my upbringing. I, by most accounts, wasn't the greatest upbringing, wasn't the worst either. Was somewhere in the middle, I would say in the bottom 30% or so. Had a lot to overcome for sure. And I did seek the help of a professional for a little while. And it still was hard for me to talk. It's not something that I think men in general are not able to express themselves like they should be able to express themselves. But I would challenge you to do that. I challenge men, especially fathers, so that you can end that cycle. Find a mental health professional. It's real easy to do. I think there's a website called Psychology Today. Let me just verify that that's right for you. Where you can go and you can find someone in your area that takes your insurance and go talk to them. Schedule an appointment. I will tell you that mental health therapists are also overwhelmed right now. They have lots and lots of clients, as you can imagine. Speaking of mental health, the COVID pandemic has also created a huge mental health problem with children. So don't tell your children to suck it up. They need to talk to someone. If you see signs of depression, anger, frustration, anxiety, and you can't help them, then find someone who can. And it is Psychology Today. There's a link at the top that says find a therapist. You put in your zip code. Find a therapist in your area that takes your insurance. Go talk to them. You know, even if you only go a few times, that the psychologist will tell you, the therapist will tell you if you should continue or not. In my case, she didn't feel like we needed to continue. So we stopped. But there are times when I feel like I need to talk to someone. And so you need to talk to someone. You need to find someone. Don't, you know, if you don't want to talk to your family about it, maybe it's easier to talk to someone else. I don't know. Maybe you find a friend to just talk to the friend. You know, I have a lifelong friend that I occasionally talk to about some things. We mostly just rag on each other. But, you know, if something serious is coming around, then we'll talk about it. But either way, talk. Now, you also need to be able to recognize the signs that you need to talk. The signs of, let's say the signs of depression, okay? So some of the signs of depression, and again, I am not a mental health professional, but I'm around people all the time, and the only real experience I have is Psychology 101 in my own life and that of my friends and things like that. Showing, you know, you have a feeling of lost interest. You're not interested in the things that you used to be interested in. Here's a big one, increased fatigue. You're always feeling tired, but you also have trouble sleeping. You're restless at night, feeling anxious. So nervousness, restlessness, always feeling panicked, rapid heart rate, rapid breathing, more sweating, muscle twitching. Those are all signs of anxiety. Irritability. If you're easily irritated, which is not a good thing to be if you have children, it really is not good. You need a lot of patience when you have children. Trust me, you need a lot of patience. Changes in appetite and weight. And I will go so far as to say either no eating at all, you completely stop eating, or you binge eat, like you've suddenly eating donuts all day long. These are problems that should indicate depression or could indicate depression. Uncontrollable anger or crying, these are signs of depression. So you suddenly find yourself in a fit of rage and you have no control over it. Or you find yourself crying and you have no control over it. You don't know why you're doing it. And it just jumps on you. It just comes out of nowhere. You know, why is that happening? This is a sign of depression. Thinking about suicide. If you're thinking about suicide, you need to seek help now. But if you see any of these symptoms in your life or in somebody you know in their life, they need to seek help. It's enough with the stigmas, right? It's time to stop. Stop burying everything. Stop keeping everything in. Stop assuming you need to be tough all the time. Go get that help you need. Do you know what the real hero is? The real hero is the one that goes out there and finds someone to talk to help figure out what is going on and how to stop it and end that curse in your family, in your cycle. End the cycle. You know, I ended the cycle of the father not being around in my family. End that cycle in your family. End the depression. End the stigma of men not being able to talk about their problems. If your wife or significant other isn't able to talk it out with you, then find someone who can. All right, there's people out there that do this professionally. Allow them to do it. They're good at it. You know, look for someone with a reputation of being good at it, especially those that have a history of working with other men. and let them help. It is Men's Mental Health Month, and it's time to take it seriously. We have a lot to deal with. We're coming out of a pandemic, these mass shootings, especially the ones in the schools. Raising children is tough by itself. Marriage, dating, relationship, life, all of these things are tough to deal with. So I hope that this podcast reaches someone and helps someone today. Go to Psychology Today and look for a, find yourself a psychologist or therapist. It's pretty much one and the same. So get the help you need and stop living with that stigma. It's not helping anybody, especially you or your children. It's not helping your children if you have children. Again, this is a father podcast, so I'm assuming that the majority of the people listening to this are fathers. So that is it for the first episode of the Dad Tax. I will try to have a lighter episode next week. But again, we will talk about men's mental health a lot on this podcast, and I will try to have some experts come on and discuss it with us. I think it'll be helpful, and I think, you know, if we can just help one father, then that's all that matters to me. So until the next time. This has been the Dad Tax Podcast. This will be hosted at thedadtax.com, where there are also blog posts and other father-related stuff, dad-related stuff, including dad jokes and, you know, just a lot of dad-related things. So go check that out and let me know what you think, thedadtax.com. And here's your, sort of your dad joke for the week. Ask my son how to spell way. He said, W-A-Y. I said, well, what about the F? He said, there's no F in way. As he's saying that, I can hear the groan. There's no F in, way. I said, okay, cool, you're grounded. That's your dad joke for the week. Till next week, everyone.